Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with Scott Wieman, a recovering drug and alcohol addict who's created a ministry called CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott is going to share his personal story, reveal the power of God's grace in his life, and offer hope and encouragement to anyone struggling with addiction. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. It took 9 years of addiction to drugs and alcohol, 9 years of watching his life spiral out of control, before Scott Wieman finally reached out for the help he needed to get his life on track. Part of that recovery process involved developing a relationship with God and allowing God's grace to overcome his disease. Another part of it was taking an honest look at the resentments and fears that contributed to his problems so he could move beyond them. Now sober since 2011, Scott is not only concerned with his own ongoing recovery, but also that of others. As a result, he started a ministry called CatholicInRecovery.com. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Scott Wieman. Hey, Scott, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Tony.
Now, you write on your website, CatholicInRecovery.com, that you took your first drink at age 17. That was in 2002, and that was what started this downward spiral in your life. Why did one drink, do you think, turn into this addiction for you? Were you a kid who got into trouble a lot growing up, or were you basically a good kid at that point in your life?
I would have probably considered myself a pretty good kid. I think that there were some coping mechanisms that I used that probably were unhealthy. Perhaps could have been a sign for what was to come. I don't know that first drink that I took and that I write about on my website was necessarily the one that turned it, but it was kind of the feeling and the relief that it offered me mm-hmm. that I continued to crave and that I continued to seek for, because there wasn't really much else in my life that I was doing that offered the same kind of comfort or reassurance or just a little bit of reprieve that drink could provide.
Yeah, well, you're right that your drinking, you think it got out a little more out of control because it grew out of fears and angst. So what were you afraid of at that time in your life? Was it common young adult fears about the future and that kind of thing?
A bit. I have typically put a lot of pressure on myself to succeed, to meet the expectations of society that I put on myself, really. I think a lot of it, too, was I found that my drinking and drug use got out of hand as I moved to college.
Okay.
I moved to New York City and was in a totally new place, different from the very rural, kind of suburban part of Wisconsin that I grew up in.
Okay.
And so really the only thing that I had at that point to kind of just calm this new lifestyle, this new, do I fit in? Do people like me?
Mm-hmm.
Was the relief that drugs and alcohol gave me.
I'm talking to Scott Wieman. He started the ministry CatholicInRecovery.com. Now, how did what probably started out as social drinking grow into an ongoing problem, an addiction?
Yeah, that's, the interesting part about that is that what once was a very social routine became to one that was of isolation. I began to seek that same kind of relief that I mentioned, but in a way that was just kind of in some instances by myself. And later on in life that would, kind of keep me and distance me from people that I was very close with, mm-hmm. family, very close friends, and made it a little bit harder to reach out for help. But I also had this shame that, not only were my grades slipping, but I knew that there was something wrong with this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That shame kept me isolated from really doing anything about it.
Yeah. Well, no, just kind of following up on what you were talking about, how self-aware were you as this problem was developing, and how did it move from alcohol to drugs also?
Yeah. Kind of teetered on the line of a little bit of an awareness, certainly, shame and guilt brought that kind of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of used coping mechanisms to tell myself that this is just a stage of my life. I'm in college. I'm in a position or a place where, it's almost expected for people my age to let loose, have a good time, explore different things. And so that in some ways also kind of answers your second question, how it turned into how alcohol turned into drug use.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, I think that, you know, if you look at the cycle of addiction, as the tolerance increases, you know, we reach for other things that may be of, you know, a little bit more impactful to kind of get away from that self-awareness. So whereas I may have been self-aware as far as what was going on in my life, that self-awareness brought a lot of pain.
Right.
And that pain grew. And so the treatment, the solution that I offered myself as I self-medicated with drugs and alcohol required a little bit more of a serious dosage.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Scott Wieman about his ministry, CatholicInRecovery.com. Did you ever try to change on your own? Did you make the promises, oh, I'm going to stop doing this, but then kind of fall back into it?
Yes, several times. I couldn't even count the number of times that I told myself. In fact, that was nearly a daily occurrence. You know, waking up with you know, a bit of a hangover,
mm-hmm.
and just that guilt and shame that I mentioned led to that kind of daily promise to myself that today's going to be the day that I don't take a drink, that I'd get things in my life together. But you know, as I started feeling a little bit better, or you know, I was almost just robotically seeking those comforts, drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, were you able to hold a job down to afford this addiction, or you know, did you have to live off savings for a while?
You know, I was not really all that financially capable of doing any better than just staying afloat.
Mm-hmm.
After I lost my scholarship at school in New York, I moved back home. I lived with my parents for a little while, and kind of got back into a full-time job where I was actually doing pretty well, although a lot of money that I did make was spent on maintaining this addictive lifestyle.
Yeah.
I later on moved out to San Diego where the cost of living is a little bit higher than I was living in rural Wisconsin. And I got a job here immediately, and that started off doing okay. Really took a turn where, you know, I could just sense that my professional interests and explorations were really suffering as a result of my drug and alcohol use. So I say that I left my job, but that was mostly just so that I didn't have to wake up so early in the morning and comfortably live this lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, what was it that finally drove you to your knees to admit you needed serious help?
In the midst of all of this, and I had found some sobriety. I was hard to say that I was sober, but I hadn't drank or used drugs for 8 months following a drunk driving incident when I was 21 years old.
Okay.
Where I did go to a 15-day inpatient treatment program. And after that, fell in love with a girl.
Okay.
And this a really wonderful woman from a really wonderful Catholic family. my drinking and drug use and lying and kind of misconduct around all of that really put a strain on our relationship. But she, we were together for quite some time. And to be honest, when it was, I came to a point where she had, you know, really found how bad it was, how much I was lying to cover things up. And that started kind of a little bit more of a downward spiral, but I found myself in this place where I just, everything that was important to me, my relationships, my both education and professional interests, and this sense of who I was really all gone, and as a result of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And so one day I found myself in a position where I just knew enough was enough. Although the trouble was that I wasn't certain that there was a solution to this problem, but reached out to those closest to me, let them know exactly how bad things were, and found a group of people who were recovering from the same type of kind of hopelessness, and it was through their presence, their encouragement, and the sharing of what they had been through and what had happened as a result of them putting faith in a higher power,
yeah,
that helped me really get back on my feet.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Scott Wieman about his ministry and his website, CatholicInRecovery.com. We're just talking about a higher power. You mentioned faith before, and obviously with a website named CatholicInRecovery.com, God is a part of this process. So I'm curious, had God been a part of your life before all this? And, you know, how did your relationship with him, your relationship with the Catholic faith change after this, I guess, epiphany, you could call it?
Sure. I was born and raised Catholic, received sacraments as a child and growing up, although not in a overly religious environment. I did have my view of God was much different than it is today. It was more of a God who kind of stood tall with his arms crossed, looking down on me and, you know, making a list of all the things that I had done wrong.
Okay.
And so it was hard to have a relationship with that kind of, God. I'm not exactly sure of what in my life that helped me or created that kind of vision of God. But yeah, as that changed and as I got to this kind of turning point in my life, where I was really told that, you know, I wouldn't be able to recover from this state of being or this state of mind, without the grace of God. I had to kind of shift what it was that I found in him and where I saw God and my intentions behind that.
Yeah. Well, I know I read in your website that there was this involvement with a Catholic young adult group at a local church that mm-hmm. really kind of led you in the right direction. What was it about that community? Because community is so important to the Christian life. What was it about them and their activities that really put you on the road to healing?
Absolutely. I first got involved in this group with the girlfriend at the time that I had mentioned previously. We had gone to a small group Bible study a few times at our local church at a parish where there's a really incredible, thriving young adult community. I didn't really feel like I had felt a part of, kind of felt like I wasn't necessarily a good enough Catholic or Christian, nor did I have the understanding of Scripture or church teachings and things like that to find myself, kind of fitting in there. However, when I did come to make a concerted effort at gaining sobriety, I reached out to a young man who today is one of my best friends, who was leading the group. And it was a warm embrace from him, a warm embrace from others who had been in a spot or at least in a position where they were, you know, seeking community and found the comforts of a community in that small, or actually a really large young adult group, mm-hmm. and offered the kind of, warm invitation that they had received. And so I felt, after time that as we broke open Scripture and I got to know Jesus in a way that was much different from the God that I had mentioned before, I found that I didn't need a theological understanding of the Bible to relate to what it was that it was speaking to me, that I could relate my own experience and find real beauty in conversations, discussions around all that.
Yeah. I'm talking to Scott Wieman about his ministry, CatholicInRecovery.com, and I'm struck by what you just said about how you were welcomed in, because I think a lot of times in talking about trying to share our faith with people, we think we can argue people into the faith, but it seems like you really just experienced the fact that you got this warm, non-judgmental welcome from these people, and that made the difference, and that eventually led you to that intellectual part of the faith. But the first part was the warmth and the welcoming. Is that basically accurate to say?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Well, as you went on and you did more Bible study and things, I think sometimes when people think of the Bible, we think of it as full of holy people, which it is. But, these holy people were pretty big sinners at one time in their lives.
Yeah.
Was that a comfort to you to realize that the Bible is full of stories of people who turned their lives around?
Yeah, absolutely. And so as I got to know a little bit more of, just Christ's teaching, even in getting involved and familiarizing myself with those who God called in the Old Testament and later, learning about Paul's conversion and his, great strength that he used to convert himself from one who persecuted Christians to one who brought the Christian life to new worlds.
Mm-hmm.
I found that, yes, there was not a, one need not be really a wholly devout person for God to call them to good, or just to call them back.
Yeah.
And then getting to know the story of the saints, you know, that brought us to another level where, you know, real life examples over the past thousands of years of people who have turned their lives around and weren't, you know, perfect from day one, but rather found that through their struggle and through their own difficulties in life, really had a strong need for God in their lives, and that brought about humility, willingness, and a sense of devout, you know, care for others and for the Lord.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned that the saints turned their lives around. How did connecting with other alcoholics who managed to turn their lives around, how did that help you in your recovery journey?
I don't think I'd be having this interview with you today if it wasn't for the support that I had gotten from other alcoholics who could share, as I mentioned, a kind of a similar hopelessness that I felt. You know, there's a couple people in particular who had this real devout sense of service, where, and it shocked me. It was something that I'd never really been exposed to, much like the people that I found in the, young adult group that I'm still active in here in San Diego. You know, finding other alcoholics who were devoted to helping others, who would give them their time freely, to share what they had been through, to listen to what I was going through, and have a real, instant connection with these people based on the fact that even though maybe other things in our lives weren't all that similar, mm-hmm. We had been through, you know, similar struggles, even if those struggles were, you know, vastly different.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to Scott Wieman. His ministry is called CatholicInRecovery.com. Now, what made you decide to go public with your story and start a ministry of sorts? Because here you're bearing your soul to others, your burdens, your struggles. It can't be easy to do. So what got you to that point?
Yeah, certainly not an easy thing. I think that after with repetition, you know, being vulnerable and sharing my vulnerabilities with others, first starting with, you know, sharing my vulnerabilities with others who had experienced the hopelessness of alcoholism and drug addiction, and then later sharing those with my Christian Catholic friends, mm-hmm. Brought a sense of great connection amongst, you know, when I'm sharing my vulnerabilities, it breeds this real closeness with others. And also I find kind of allows other people to mirror the same and really share what's really going on with themselves, rather than just this kind of constant, you know, let me show you the best of me all the time and yeah. and not really let you into what's going on. You know, brought a way of life and a connection, friendships and relationships that, you know, were very genuine and are very genuine. And are close. So, you know, I find that, you know, although my struggle in life was something that tormented me for a very long time. And even as I got sober, really just wanted to kind of shut the door on my past. I found that dark path has become one of my greatest assets, and being able to share with others who may be going through something similar, that there's hope through it all.
Yeah, well, actually, just talking about that dark path, and even when I was reading your story online, I was reminded of the motto of the Christophers, which is, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I thought that in your life, you need to make a daily choice to focus on that light, to light that metaphorical candle. Is that a daily choice that you make every morning when you wake up in order to stay sober?
Absolutely. And it's one that I'm very grateful for. Mm-hmm. Grateful that I have something to really sink my teeth into, or at least something for me to sink my faith into.
Yeah.
You know, that usually starts for me with convening, as I did this morning, with a group of other alcoholics, and just, you know, whether that's me going to share what's going on with me or just listening to what other people are going through, it provides an opportunity for, you know, humility, for strength, and for and a real sense of community, that this fight is not one that I'm taking on alone, but is a daily, you know, I don't want to say daily struggle, but it's something that I'm offered a daily reprieve, mm-hmm. based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and I can only maintain that spiritual condition through prayer and through community.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Scott Wieman about his ministry, CatholicInRecovery.com. And I like the fact that you included the word Catholic in there, because I think religious people in particular, if they have a problem with addiction, say, they may be especially reluctant to seek help about it because they're ashamed, because they think that, you know, being religious, they should be beyond having this kind of problem. Have you found at all that you know, religious people do struggle more with admitting they need help?
I think that it can be a difficult thing to do that in a church community.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're really only seeing this, like I said, the beautiful side of everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that it's something that a lot of people, both religious or not, struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, people that are religious, people that you know, Christians or otherwise, are almost condemned for being hypocrites. You know, I hear a lot in various communities and outside of the church. That, you know, I used to go to church, but I found that it was full of all people that were hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know, they would be in church for an hour, and then they'd live the rest of their lives contrary to the teachings that they preached at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, that understanding, I think, it can be damaging.
Yeah.
to one's walk and to one's, you know, searching for that higher power or relationship with God. You know, I do think, though, that Catholics and Christians, people that are, quote-unquote, religious, do hold themselves to a standard where I've got to keep looking good, and you know, I can only have this like, holiness if I bring myself together, kind of rejecting the side that really, you know, needs help.
Yeah, yeah. And really, they need to come to realize, which is a line you write on your website, which I really liked, said, God still found me lovable in all of my brokenness. So for anybody who's listening who might feel that brokenness for whatever reason, what would you want to tell them about God's love and how close it actually is?
Well, I would like to say to them that God is a God. The God that I know and the God that I love is one that loves without condition, and loves regardless of the faults that I have been through, that I continually find myself going through, and is one that wherever I'm at wants the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as I have written and as I've shared a little bit about today, God never gave up on me, even though I had given up on myself. You know, Jesus Christ is one who seeks us and will go to great distances to find us.
Yeah.
Even if we're not looking to be found or looking for him.
Right, right. Well, listening to you today and reading your website, I get the impression that you have become a person who in the past used to focus on pleasure, but today is much more grounded in joy. What have you learned about the difference between pleasure and real joy?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that, and I write a lot about addiction being kind of the pursuit, as St. Thomas Aquinas would say, of, you know, we ultimately pursue four things in replace of God: power, pleasure, wealth, and honor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I find that when I'm in my life where I was really caught up in addiction, that was it in a nutshell. You know, seeking this constant pleasure, but the pleasure of that's very, very short term. And, you know, the cycle of addiction is one that brings about just this endless need for a pleasure that never really fulfills.
Mm-hmm.
And so it leads to indulgence, you know, then later, you know, shame and regret, and then seeking more of that pleasure. Unfortunately, it's weird how they, you know, the solution and the problem can be the same thing when you're constantly seeking that pleasure.
Yeah.
I find that the joy that accompanies community and the relationship of God with God,
mm-hmm.
And as one of my spiritual directors would say, in doing esteemable things, you know, he says the greatest way to gain esteem is by continually doing esteemable things. That brings about a joy in life, the means to look people in the eye, to hold my head high, and know that, you know, regardless of you know, whether I'm going through both pain or you know, pleasure,
yeah.
That I have this God that accompanies me through all, and that I'm not journeying alone, which, you know, even in difficult situations can bring about a great relief and comfort.
Right, right. Well, I think anybody who reads goes to the website catholicinrecovery.com will get your insights about leading them to a life of joy. But before we wrap up, just tell me, what are your hopes for the future of catholicinrecovery.com?
Well, this is a nonprofit organization in the midst of being a nonprofit status that at the moment is much, I'd like to think, a seed. It's reaching people, mm-hmm. and that's a blessing and only done by the grace of God. Through providing resources, I'm doing a lot of writing, as well as speaking, and we'll be doing some video content for people that are struggling both with addiction and or don't necessarily identify themselves as an addict, but want to use the principles given by, recovery and the 12 steps to better their lives. I also see an online community growing where mm-hmm. others can bring their struggles and their success stories to give others hope and also reach out for help and provide an action plan for people to further strengthen their faith life and live a sacramental life. For those, again, both in recovery and outside of recovery, and let people know that they're not alone and that there is hope for the hopeless and, that the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is available to both saints and sinners.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking with Scott Wieman about his website and ministry, CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott is an ongoing testament to the fact that you can address your addictions, like he talked about addressing them today, that you can get help and then move forward toward a life that brings real joy instead of just pleasure. He's also a good reminder that regardless of your addiction, God is always there to help, to forgive, to walk by your side toward a brighter future. So check out Scott's ministry, CatholicInRecovery.com. And Scott, thanks so much for sharing your mission with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, Tony. It was a pleasure.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Loneliness is a problem that affects us all. It's something that can occur even when we're surrounded by other people. Nothing can fill the void created by this feeling except a deep connection with God and others. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Overcoming Loneliness. It offers reflections on how we can grow closer to God during times of isolation and how love and grace can help us make new connections and find peace. To request your free copy of Overcoming Loneliness, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.